online, WGBW Denmark. Green Bay's real news and great conversation. A civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Reading assignment from Hades.
Beginning after the date of the enactment of this act. Two, modification of provision related.
Democrats asked for the reading of the 904-page Republican tax and budget plan in the Senate. It's been going on since last night. Some Republicans are not happy with the cost or cuts in Medicaid. Former New York Republican Congressman John Katko.
There's a lot of pressure on members who don't want to vote for this bill, but may have to because of the pressure being put on them.
Former University of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh is named in a class action suit over alleged hacking of student athletes' personal info. He's accused of doing nothing about allegations against an assistant coach. Extra security in place as 1 million people are estimated at the annual New York City Pride Parade today. Chrysler is voluntarily recalling some of its Pacificas and Voyagers to replace side airbags if needed. Regulators say they might not inflate enough in a crash. This is ABC News. Another sign of the unaffordability of homes for many would-be buyers from ABC's Michelle Franzen.
The National Association of Realtors finds 6% of pending contracts were canceled in May, up 5% compared to a year ago. Experts say it underscores how home shoppers might have to back out because of unexpected costs, changes in their credit, employment, or a low appraisal.
When you hear about this man's latest money gift, realize that he's still got a few nickels left. ABC's Dave Packer.
Billionaire investor Warren Buffett with a huge donation to the Gates Foundation. $6 billion of Berkshire Hathaway stock, his biggest annual donation since he began giving away his fortune almost 20 years ago.
Our Dave Packer, they're talking about that space junk or meteorite that created a bright, fiery streak in the sky seen in Georgia and South Carolina Thursday afternoon. A golf ball-sized rock crashed through a house roof in Henry County, Georgia. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
I'm Tony Goldwyn. As an actor and a director, I attend a lot of screenings. But there's one that's different. It's important, and it could save your life. A lung cancer screening. You know, I lost my mom to lung cancer when she was just 68 years old. Screenings help diagnose lung cancer early when it's most treatable, even curable. A quick low-dose CT scan is all it takes. GoTo for lung cancer is your go-to. Visit goto.org.
Mino and the mayor. Show him the picture he showed me today in the striped little short shorts.
No, it was the
they
belly.
They would be banned
I
now.
Know. No, John.
Too much skin.
Hubba, hubba, hubba.
Man, dig that crazy chick.
Oh, man, short shorts.
Oh, that's funny. Wow.
Mino and the mayor, weekday mornings, 6 till 9. As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman. A new statewide political poll finds overwhelming support for cracking down on phones in schools. The latest Marquette Law School poll came out last Wednesday. It surveyed just under 900 voters earlier this month on things like the state and federal budgets and the 2026 governor's race. But it also asked about cell phone use in schools, and the response was clear.
We can be quick on this. Get rid of your kids' cell phones.
Marquette poll director Charles Franklin.
89% say not in classes.
72% of voters supported banning cell phones throughout the school day, including lunch and between classes. And it's a timely issue in Richland Center, where the local school board is weighing a change for phone use in the high school. Reporter Joanne Krulatz from WRCO in Richland Center.
This new language would restrict cell phone use during the day, whereas it is currently allowed in common areas before and after school, during passing times, and during lunch.
The school board listed a number of reasons for the switch to help students concentrate, reduce stress, and encourage healthy boundaries with technology, and for clear communication with families and to prevent misinformation during emergencies. That proposal heads back to the school board next month. The conversation happens as there's new national research on the link between screen time and mental well-being for youth. A study published last week in the medical journal JAMA followed over 4,009 and 10-year-olds over a 4-year period.
found that kids with high or increasing levels of addictive screen use, especially for social media or video games, were more likely to show signs of anxiety, depression, and serious mental health issues. Researchers caution that the study shows a link but doesn't prove causation. For Civic Media News, I'm Sholly Pittman.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly sunny skies for your Sunday and a chance of some showers and storms for the afternoon. High temperatures warming to the upper 80s and lower 90s, or heat index in the mid-90s. Southwest winds will be a bit breezy. We'll see more storms for tonight. It's 84 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Sholly Pittman, Civic Media's news director, will be here to recap all of the weekend news. In hour number two, we lighten it up with We Got This Garden. I hope you can join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. City on rock and
roll. From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lean Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lean Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Lean Local. So this is the show where we do what we say. We really lean into the local area, the local community, the local economy. And as you've heard me say many times, this is, to me, not just because I was your mayor, but it is just a great, great place to live. And it's not just me. As you know, U.S. News and World Report, you know, said that Green Bay is the number one place to live because of our low crime, affordable housing, strong schools, you know, good air quality, a vibrant culture. We've won awards for the seventh in the nation for quality of life by U.S. News. We're consistently appearing in the top 10 of the most livable cities. Just a lot of good things going for us here in Green Bay. And I think that's something to be very proud of. And we're going to get to the reasons why. But on the other hand, I think we have to not be not live in this world of everything's always going to be great. We have our struggles here too, and we obviously with the infrastructure and transportation. But you know, we struggle a little bit with housing development. There's some homelessness and social issues that we're facing here, and some workforce development. Now, today's show we are going to talk about why we get these awards and how we're going to keep competitive and keep doing what we're doing and not get into this trap of a city that declines. And the key to this, as you probably know, is education. It's not money. It's not the environment. I mean, those things all help. But you need an educated community to get you to continue to advance. And what we have here in Green Bay, and we talk about all these great things, obviously the Packers, but we talk about, you know, the United Way, and we talk about the Red Cross and these programs we have here in Green Bay. But there's a program that we're going to focus this next 45 minutes on today, and that's a program called College Ready. You may know it as Scholarships Inc., which it was years ago, but College Ready is, I want to get this guy on here and talk for 45 minutes about how cool this program is and how lucky we are to have this. And our guest today is Brent Rubel. Are you the executive director? You are.
Yeah, top, executive director.
Top guy. Ooh, okay. I know I went to the top. I usually do that. I try to do that. And we've known each other for some time, and I haven't seen you in a while. And then we ran into each other at the Packer Foundation luncheon, because as competitive as that is, and they gave out, I think, 9 awards, and they had people from Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, and College Ready received an award, and rightfully so, to an impact award. So I think what I want to start with, because those people who may not know who you are, I think I'd like to start with just by you giving us an overall overview of College Ready program. What's its mission, and what do you all do? And welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Sure. Thanks a lot, Jim. Appreciate the opportunity. Yeah. And so College Ready is a local nonprofit, as you said, and we're encouraging and supporting area students onto higher education. And we're doing that through scholarships and then also college readiness programming. Now, we've been around for a while. As you indicated, we were Scholarships, Inc., and we started as that in 1962. We were actually founded by the principal of Green Bay East High School at that time. You know, he had a lot of students that he thought had potential, and he wanted to make sure higher education was available to them. So he went to the community leaders, and he said, you know, we've got these students, but they just don't have the financial support. And that's really how our organization was born. In that first year, that organization, they raised $7,500, gave out scholarships to 16 students here in the Green Bay area. And that's how everything really got started. Believe it or not, that's about, I think that's about $700 or so per student, if my math is right. I may not be right, but anyhow. But back then, that was enough to cover tuition, you know, to go to UW-Madison.
Right.
Well, yeah. So we've been doing scholarships. We're still a scholarship granting organization. But then about 10 years ago, we wanted to do more than just help students with need pay for college. We actually saw a great need to help students become enrolled in college. And that really is around students from impoverished backgrounds, students whose parents or family had never been to post-secondary, you know, either a two-year or four-year college. There was a need to help those students get enrolled into college. So now we're doing that. We're dual focus, and hence the name change then to College Ready.
And we have a market of people whose parents haven't gone to college.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, most of the parents that we're working with, not only have they not gone to college, but probably about a third of them haven't even finished high school. And so,
really?
You know, yeah, yeah.
So
that college going process.
Probably not on the top of their list.
It's not on the top of their list. They've never been through it. It's difficult for even regular parents like myself. My youngest is still in college, and that whole process and understanding, you know, how to get them there. And the steps to take, they just don't have that.
I was looking at what kind of maybe stops people from going to college, and cost of tuition is at the top of the list, but I want to get to a little bit more what you're talking about is just the knowledge of going to college. I mean, there's a lot of, I don't know if paperwork's the right way, but there's a process mm-hmm. to getting in there. So that's all part of your program. And with that, I want to talk about, like, who's eligible? Like, even somebody who's maybe from a little higher income level, can they talk to you? Or how does this all work where somebody can say,
sure.
Look, my parents think I should go to college, or the parents are calling you and say, look, I want my kid to go to college. I don't know where to start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, so really two focuses. We've got that scholarship focus that's been ongoing since we started. And that's an application process annually that's eligible to any student that's going on to a two-year or four-year school in the United States. And those scholarship recipients then are chosen based on their financial need, because we look at that. We want to make sure our donors' dollars are being best used. And then the amount they get is based on merit, you know, how they did in school, what are the things that they're involved in, and those types of things. So, you know, if you want to look at, there is no income level per se from our scholarship perspective, but we are looking at financial need, you know, based on their ability to have funds and those types of things. Obviously, a family that has the ability, you know, won't qualify necessarily for those need-based scholarships, but for the most part, you know, those scholarships are open, you know, to those in our community. And when I say community, we're really looking at Brown County and Door County, so 18 high schools that we're serving from that scholarship perspective.
And do you want the students to apply to schools within that same market, or can they look outside Wisconsin? Right?
Sure. You know, they really can look outside Wisconsin if they want to. Like I said, we'll support scholarships to any accredited two-year or four-year school in the United States. But what we're really seeing is that about a third of our students that are coming in for those scholarships aren't getting those scholarships. They're staying right here in our community, NWTC, UW-Green Bay, Bellin College, St. Norbert. But then even beyond that, almost 90% are staying within Wisconsin. And so
that's great.
We know that that money is being invested, first of all, here in these students to stay here in this community to be our, you know, future leaders. And even the ones that are going, you know, to another school in Wisconsin, typically they are coming back to this community for employment.
So Scholarships, Inc., how are you, you give out, I mean, it's more than $700.
yeah, it's increased a little bit over the years, right?
And but with that, you must have increased your revenue. And how does that work?
Sure. So, you know, since we started in 1962, we've awarded over, well, almost $14.5 million to about 7,000 area students. So right now we're averaging about $500,000 a year to just under 200 students. So if you do the math on that, it's about $2,500 average scholarship.
Nice.
So we try to make sure that there's an impact because, you know, we know college is so expensive. Instead of like awarding more at a smaller amount, we're trying to make an impact. And so our lowest scholarship dollar is $1,000 and we go all the way up to $6,000.
Well, wow. That's real money.
Yeah, it is real money. It is real money. You know, exactly.
I mean, everything is $50 is great, but
yeah, right. You know, of course,
it's all good. But so this, tell me this, this Packer Foundation, which is extremely competitive to, right? I mean, you got all these nonprofits in the state of Wisconsin.
Of course,
everybody knows the Packers, and yep. You know they're generous, but they've got a ceiling too. And I mm-hmm. think it's like maybe $1 million. I'm not exactly sure what mm-hmm. they gave out last Tuesday. We at the New Community Shelter were recipient, but we, as much as we've done in this community for the last 30 years, we're doing something different and new. And
sure.
That is why we talked to them, sent them the application, and they're like, this is awesome what you guys are doing. It's an impact. Are you doing something different with that money, or is it enhancing what you're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question and a great segue into that whole college readiness aspect. So, you know, that's what we started about 10 years ago, really working with students starting in sixth grade, believe it or not, all the way through 12th grade. So our goal is to have them obviously graduate high school and then go on and get enrolled and complete college. Now, these are students, again, that are free reduced lunch, students whose parents have not gone on to post-secondary. Those are the criteria to be in the program and to apply for the program. So we're selecting about 30 students a year to come in as sixth graders and then stay with us in that program. In middle school, we're really focusing on, you know, the habits of good success for academics and studying and those types of things, and specifically reading and writing. We've identified and working with the school district and what they're seeing is that reading and writing are areas of emphasis that they need extra help in, the students that we're working with in particular.
Those 30? Is that?
Yeah. About 30 per year. So then we go for 7 years.
All right. And these students... So this isn't really a financial incentive for tuition. This is more of college readiness academics.
It's both, actually. It is both because there is an incentive. So as the students participate in the program, they earn points, and those points turn into scholarship dollars when they graduate. So they can earn up to a $5,000 scholarship just by participating in the program. They don't have to do anything else, participate in the program, and get the money.
I would think there's a lot of students who would qualify.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at the free and reduced lunch numbers, mm-hmm. you know, and I've been out of office for, I think, 5-6 years. It was significantly high in some of these schools, Brent. I mean, it was.
Yeah, we're talking 50, 60, you know, 70%,
right.
Depending upon the school that you're looking at, exactly.
So how do you pick 30?
Yeah, well, you know, that's hard. And so part of it has to be parent engagement and involvement because we know if we can keep the parents engaged and involved and help them along the way, that's going to equate to greater success in the long term. So there is a parent part of our programming that's required to get the students signed up, first of all, and then continue to participate in that. So that does narrow it a little bit. And then beyond that, you know, it's really that interest and that desire, because when they're, you know, when we're looking at fifth graders here, I mean, you know, they got a long way to go. So, yeah. You know, we don't want to turn away people.
No. And I want to, when we come back, I want to talk about an example.
Sure.
Obviously no names or anything, but how that really, and I'm sure you have your success stories. You've been doing this for a while,
sure.
but, I'll talk about that. And then I want to talk about some engagement with the schools, how they're doing in terms of the counselors, a couple of other things I want to talk to you about. And I just want to thank you for being here. This is Brent Rubel, who is the executive director of College Ready, a program that is really getting our kids ready for college, be it a technical school or a four-year college. We're lucky to have that here in Green Bay, and we're really lucky to have you as the executive director. You're listening to Lean Local with Jim Schmidt. We'll be right back.
Keep trying too quick for the line they throw. I walk to the sound of my own drum. It goes, they go, we go. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, here we go. Feel it in my soul. Really need it, need it so good. Gotta feed it. Hard to control.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
And now for the Pella play-by-play, here's Jeff Levering.
Thanks, Gina Della from Pella. What a beautiful day to have new windows and doors installed.
Every day is beautiful because Pella installs year-round during all seasons.
It's so hard to guess that next pitch. The customizations seem endless.
And it doesn't have to be super expensive. Pella has a product line for every budget.
And if it is time for a major upgrade, rest easy by scoring no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. Visit PellaWI.com today.
Certain restrictions apply on 6/30/2025.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Hey, it's Amanda, and we all know that Northeast Wisconsin has some of the best events around, but trying to find them all can be tricky. So here at WGBW, we decided to do the work for you. Prevent boredom on any night by going to WGBW.fm and click events in the top right corner. You'll never have to spend forever scrolling to find out what's going on in your area. And if you got an event to share, hit us up by emailing info@WGBW.fm. We can work together to have real news and great conversation while giving you the 411 on what's happening in New Wisco.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
With Jim Schmidt, and we are talking with Brent Rubel, who is the executive director of College Ready, a program that really gets the student ready, but really gets this community ready to face some of the challenges and just be educated on what our future is facing. Before I get back to Brett Weiger, we have a sponsor, right? Take sponsors to put on a show like this. We got to pay our producer, Khan. No, he's great. And, this costs money to put this on, and we have a couple great sponsors for this series because they love College Ready and what they do. And one of them is Nicolet Bank. And Nicolet Bank is just a great example of how to run a business. You know, I teach at NWTC, and we talk about just a good organization. I mean, it's more than just running a good operation and making money. I mean, there's philanthropy in there. There's coaching. There's getting your employees engaged in the community. And really, I think nobody does that better than Nicolet Bank. I mean, they started in 2000, and, you know, with really Mike Daniels and Bob Atwell. Now they have 57 branches. They're, you know, Wisconsin and the UP and Minnesota. And they just do so many good things here in our community. Everything, Feeding America, they obviously help us out at the new community shelter. They do many things, City Deck, events. And I think the reason, and that, and besides all that, they're a great bank. I mean, they're great for home loans, for business loans, financial planning. And, you know, I think those guys, when they started, and, you know, it's just the two of them when they really got this thing going as the executive leaders, they knew where they wanted to go. They had a great mission statement. We're community focused. We're going to take care of our employees and we're going to take care of our community. And they had a good vision. We're going to grow this thing and we're going to grow it strategically and profitably, which they've obviously done. So, and when they give back to the community, and I went and saw them, I said, hey, look, I'm going to be doing this radio show called Lean Local. It was like, I don't know, 30-second conversation. They're like, we're in. So I just think people like that, banks like that, and they not only give back financially, but a lot of their employees serve on different boards and commissions. So I just want to thank them for sponsoring us.
Yeah, they're a great community-minded organization. You're exactly right. And they are a supporter of College Ready.
Are they?
Yeah.
You know, for some reason, that doesn't surprise me. I really didn't know that until you said that. But so College Ready, which you are the executive director. And before that, you were with another nonprofit, were you not?
Yeah, before this, I was with Family Services
of
Northeast Wisconsin. Yeah. And then prior to that, United Way. So my entire career has been in Green Bay and in nonprofit, which is not what I expected when I went to college, actually. But
boy, you get in it. And I mean, you're making a living, but it's so much more than that when you're in the nonprofit world, isn't it? I mean,
oh, it is. It is. It's much more than that. And it's and everybody in the nonprofit world, you know, you're in it for to help others and to improve others and to see their lives get better. And it's really gratifying to see all the students we're serving and you know where they start in our program, especially that college readiness program, and then where they finish end up and how they become young adults.
And you were the recipient last week of a grant from the Packer Foundation for your College Ready program. And before we went to break, we talked about, it's kind of, you select 30 students, which has got to be tough out of what, I mean, there's thousands of sixth graders in our, in Brown County and Door County.
Yeah, yeah.
You find 30 of them that you qualify and their parents are also engaged.
Yep.
And I think whether they're in that program or not, parent engagement is critical.
Oh, it is. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah. And this program in particular, you're right. So this college readiness program where we're helping these students after school, again, sixth grade through 12th grade. This is just specific to the Green Bay area, this program is. But that's what the Packer grant was for. That was to help us to serve more students. And so we started this program on the east side of Green Bay, Edison, Washington, Easton, Preble. And now we've been doing it for 10 years. You know, we know what we're doing. We've got the results. The community would like us to expand to other schools on the west side in particular. And so we're working on that, and that's what this grant is going to help us do.
And the reason you got the grant is because it works.
Exactly. Yeah, we got the results. Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's the commitment from the parent engagement is, you know, not the, from the student? Are these weekends, is it after school? Is it, it tell me what the student is committing to. And the results speak for themselves. The student is a better student, especially in comes to the English and the math side of life.
Yeah. 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 So exactly. So our programming from a student perspective, it's really once a week in their school after school. So we're working with them for about 2 hours after school session. We've got a curriculum once a week, again, with each of those different grade levels, sixth grade, seventh grade, all the way through 12th grade. We've got a different curriculum at each grade. So we're visiting with the students. We're doing that right in their school with them. And then
are they alone or are they with other students?
Oh, they're with other students.
Okay, so
they're all together. Yeah.
See,
that's
cool too.
Yeah,
that
they build that
socialization.
That
boy,
yeah,
we lost a little bit of that. You know, through COVID.
Oh yeah.
We don't spend too much time on that, but I just wanted to make. I think that's great that it's more than just tutoring one on one. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. No, exactly. Our staff is working with the group of students.
Cool.
As a whole, that, you know, that 25 to 30 group of students. So our student programming is once a week throughout the entire school year. And then our families or our parents, we have a parent family workshop once a month on a Saturday morning. And we alternate locations between UW Green Bay and NWTC. We've got great relationships with them. So like I said, as their students are progressing in our curriculum, so are their parents. So the parents are learning in middle school how to best support their students academically, how to even connect with electronically the apps to be able to get them into you know, systems and to be able to communicate with their students' teachers and those
things. How cool to have your Saturday morning things at TC or UWGB so they're not intimidated by that institution either.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Yeah. We're trying to break down those barriers.
All right. You guys know what you're doing. We're going to be right back here with Brett Rubel, College Ready Program.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Reading assignment from Hades.
Beginning after the date of the enactment of this act. Two, modification of provision related.
Democrats asked for the reading of the 904-page Republican tax and budget plan in the Senate. It's been going on since last night. Some Republicans are not happy with the cost or cuts in Medicaid. Former New York Republican Congressman John Katko.
There's a lot of pressure on members who don't want to vote for this bill, but may have to because of the pressure being put on them.
Former University of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh is named in a class action suit over alleged hacking of student athletes' personal info. He's accused of doing nothing about allegations against an assistant coach. Extra security in place as 1 million people are estimated at the annual New York City Pride Parade today. Chrysler is voluntarily recalling some of its Pacificas and Voyagers to replace side airbags if needed. Regulators say they might not inflate enough in a crash. This is ABC News.
Another home run for Ortiz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. Earlier this season, the Milwaukee Brewers shortstop, Joey Ortiz, was really struggling at the plate. His batting average was down to 188, and he was in danger of losing his job. This week, Ortiz hit two home runs in the same game. Yesterday, he had another, a two-run homer in the Brewers' 5-0 win over the Rockies. I asked Ortiz, was his extended hitting slump tough to get through?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel like my teammates kept my head out a lot more than they know, especially early when I wasn't really getting the results I wanted. Everyone does a great part to make sure that your teammates are doing a good job, making sure they're in a good position mentally. And yeah.
And we learned that Brewers center fielder Garrett Mitchell, who re-injured his left shoulder in Nashville over a week ago, running the bases, will have to undergo surgery again this Tuesday. Although it's possible he could return at the end of this season. From American Family Field, with Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. How do actors cope with being part of a really dark horror film? Violet McGraw and Allison Williams, stars of Megan 2.0, made themselves happy when the cameras weren't rolling by singing Taylor Swift songs. The 37-year-old Williams and 14-year-old McGraw are both Swifties. McGraw, who plays Williams' niece in the film, says the two bonded due to the dark material, and the way they ended up coping with it was by pretending to be Taylor. Megan 2.0 is rating fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and is currently in theaters. If mystery and horror isn't your thing, how about mystery and comedy? Peacock's remake of the 1989 Tom Hanks film, The Burbs, is gaining steam. The reboot is not a movie, but rather a series, and the cast is headlined by Kiki Palmer, whose credits include Nope and the recent surprise hit, One of Them Days. Palmer is also executive producing. If you're feeling nostalgic for the movie, you might dig the show, as it is filmed on the same street on the Universal backlot as the movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Partly sunny skies for your Sunday and a chance of some showers and storms for the afternoon. High temperatures warming to the upper 80s and lower 90s, or heat index in the mid-90s. Southwest winds will be a bit breezy. We'll see more storms for tonight. Right now, it's 85.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk Action Wisconsin and film incentives with Jeffrey Kurz and Nathan Deming. And Kurt Newman of the legendary Bodines joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. City on rock and roll.
From the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Lead Local with Jim Schmidt, a weekly program focusing on local issues, prominent local candidates, political experts, and community leaders, helping to build better communities. This is Lead Local. And now, here's your host, former Green Bay Mayor Jim Schmidt.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Lean Local. Today, we are focused on one of the great programs we have here in Greater Green Bay, College Ready. And, you know, we know of a lot of programs. I don't think this one is in the top of the list sometimes. You hear about all great programs here, right? Boys and Girls Club, United Way, Red Cross, and so many other things. But College Ready is really making an impact in this community. It's getting students ready for continued education after high school, and be it a technical college or four-year college. We want to be ready because we're going to talk about in a second that the difference in going to college or not going to college is not only $1 million, it's just the opportunities are so much more if you put that investment in. Brett Rubel, who is the executive director of this program, wants to make sure you're ready. A couple other things we're going to get to. But before we do, this show is sponsored, as I mentioned in the first half, by Nicolet Bank. And this part is by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. And Pella, here in Green Bay, is just a terrific company. And I have my house, as some of you know, is just a little bit older, 120 years old. But they came over and they have a program, and they can look at your house and they'll show you different types of windows and different styles. Like, you know, a house built in 1985, those windows wouldn't look good in my house. And the windows I have in my house, I don't think it would look real good in their house either. And they just bring the laptop out and show you these different styles. And they also install them, which is half the battle of having a good window, because, you know, I mean, it's no secret that your heat loss is through your windows and your door, you know, period. And we bought both of those from Pella, and not the cheapest place to go, but they have great financing packages too. And we did something where it was over like a 3-year period. And we love it. And that's just a great company. It's just Pella.com. They come over. It's free, that whole analysis, assessment of your home. The variety they have is incredible. What they offer, and the quality of product is second to none. And I just really encourage you, at the local company, and I talked a little bit earlier about how important it is to me to do business with companies that give back, and they're another one. I mean, they donate. They're involved in a lot of things. Again, at the new community shelter where I work, they're very, very generous to us. And, great employees that serve on different boards and commissions. So I just want to, you know, thank John Kalowitz, who, of course, is the president over there, and his whole company. That's we're lucky to have them here as well.
Yeah, they are great windows. I can attest to that. The quality is there. We put them in our house about 25 years ago, right? And they're just like they were the first day they put them in.
And that's what's cool about it. It's like, wow. But, you know, I'd rather buy something really, really good and not have to do it every 7-8 years.
Exactly.
So anyway.
Make the investment.
We want to thank Pella.com, so give them a call too. So we were talking about this whole college ready, getting these students ready to go to college, how important the parent engagement is. And I just want to underscore the parent engagement, how you have these Saturday meetings with not only the student, but with the family.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it really underscores their commitment. I mean, we have these parents coming out on a Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So that they can make sure that their student does better. And really, these parents want a better future for their students. You know, many of our parents are working second and third shift. They're working two or three jobs just to make ends meet because they didn't have that higher education in their background. And they want their, you know, just like you and I, we want more for our kids than what we had. And so they are very committed to this. And that's important to have their commitment for their success as well.
And your organization, which started in 1962, has grown with the changing economics, with the changing environment that we have here. Yet your mission statement has really stayed the same, is that our mission is to encourage and invest in area students to succeed in higher education.
Yeah.
And so you've been at this for a while, and I've been to some of your banquets. Tell me about some of the results. I mean, without mentioning kids' names, I understand that, but you know, you've got a lot to brag about.
Yeah, yeah, on both fronts, scholarships and readiness. So scholarships, you know, we feel pretty good about our process that we have for selecting our recipients, because every year, so our recipients can come back for a second year of funding. Some of our scholarships are 4 years, most of them are two. But we get 95% of our students coming back for their second year of funding. So we know they're persisting and they're going on to their second year,
right?
Which is a lot higher than the average for college freshmen. And we also know if they persist and they make it to that second year, their chances of graduating with that degree are so much higher. So from a scholarship perspective, we feel like our results are good and they speak for themselves. And then this readiness program. So we're getting high school graduation, obviously, number one, that's first important. You can't go to college without graduating from high school. So we've got so now we're working in our 10th year of the program. We have 100% high school graduation in our history of our program. And we've got a 94% college enrollment rate. There's a few students that, you know,
that's incredible,
haven't gone
on
enrollment. But
I don't want to interrupt you, Brett, but that's incredible that 100% graduation rate, because I think if kids don't graduate from high school, that's a tough world out there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
And some people start worrying about Johnny when he's a junior in high school, and it's kind of a little bit late. Maybe there's something you can do, but what I like about your program, and sixth grade is when you can start. Some people would argue fourth grade you can start working on it, but sixth grade is a great place to say, look, you know, you're gonna graduate, and if you enroll in this program, there's 100%. Now, I'm not a math major, but that's pretty high percent. I mean,
that's
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we're really building that relationship with the student and the family. You know, it is a long program; it is 7 years.
That's all right.
But we're building that trust and that relationship along the way. Both ways, you know, to be honest. And so those parents and those families really, you know, trust us, and they see what's happening with their student. You know, their grades are improving, you know, their attendance is improving and those types of things. And so they want to continue that.
And maybe they're liking school too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's important, right? Yeah. That a student's engaged in school. And I don't know that I ever got that gene, but my kids love school.
Yeah,
and I don't think they got that from me. But I think you're right about it's you create an environment that they want to learn and they see a future. So wow, I got to be honest with you. I did a little research before we did this interview. I'm not sure I knew that someone who was engaged in the college readiness program in sixth grade and committed to the program, and you obviously commit to them, that there's 100% graduation rate, and then 94% of those kids go on to higher education.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly.
Pretty cool.
You know, and nowadays, too, I mean, you know, college is expensive, and we talked about that. You can't waste time in school. Like, when I went to college, you know, I was kind of still figuring it out, but it didn't cost as much, and it took me 5 years, but I did it, you know. But now, you know, we're trying to help those families and those students in particular focus on what are your interests, what do you want to be, and what kind of career, so that you can pick your major, so that you're starting the ground run, you know, you're hitting the ground running, There's so many other things. There's dual credit, you know, that you should be doing when you're in high school, and almost right. all high schools offer that to be able to cut down on some of the classes you have to take. Right. And so there's so many different things. There's so many different things. And that's what we really work on when they get to high school then. You know, we build that foundation of academics and support in middle school. And then on high school, we work on that college going process.
It's pretty amazing if somebody is strategic or maybe coached under your organization, how when they're senior in high school, they've got it going on. I mean, they've got some college credits, you know, and they're mm-hmm. saving themselves like almost up to a year. The other thing is that I think to go to TC and get some basics out of the way and then transfer to GB.
Exactly.
And they have such a good relationship, those two schools.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that whole college credit thing. I mean, UW-Green Bay does a great job. Matter of fact, we've had, I think, two or three of our students in the last couple of years that have graduated with an associate's degree already. So they've completed that in high school, got the dual credit. But then, yeah, you're right, that relationship with NWTC, UW-Green Bay, and then with College Ready, we're seeing students, you know, that maybe not as sure about what they want to do, but they're going to go to NWTC, they're going to get their gen eds in, and then they're going to transfer to UW-Green right. Bay, and they're yeah. going to finish their major.
And students, like I said, teaching there, and many of them, I ask them what they want to do, and many of them, the intent is to transfer, mm-hmm. and I think that's fine. Yep. I've been teaching there for 3 years, but D's don't transfer. I said, look, man, you weren't into the class. Oh, yeah, no, there's all these excuses. I said, and then he did pull a little AI towards the end, and I'm like, look, you didn't write this. And then he went to the dean. He goes, I deserve a C, and I'm like, you're not getting one from me, I'll tell you that. And he went to the dean, and he just wanted it to transfer, mm-hmm. you know. If a D would have transferred, he wouldn't have, you know, argued. But, you know, yeah. they stayed with my grade. It yeah. just because I think it's smart to go to, but you still got to work at NWTC right. as well. Oh, yeah. It's not like it's a yeah. free ride there. No. Try to explain that to him, but
exactly.
I don't know what he's doing now. But no, he's fine. He retook the class.
Obviously not a college ready participant.
No, had he taken? I told him, man, go give Brett a call. Get so let's so that's a great program, and I'm glad that. Thanks to the Packer Foundation and really for your leadership, that this will be available in more schools on the west side of Green Bay now. And I think parents should look at that. How is it that student counselors that would bring this to the student's attention or you, how would a parent know that, hey, this is a great program?
Yeah, exactly. We work directly with the schools. You're exactly right. So through the student counselor offices, we're bringing these opportunities to the parents and the families.
Okay. That's because there's some things out in this community that people don't know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my yep. job and, you know, civic media and is just to get the word out yep. there. And it's yep. hard to do. There's yep. just a lot of things out there and a little bit of confusion at times. But, all right, so they can contact your organization or the student counselor.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. They could go to collegereadywi.org, our website, okay. and be able to find information there as well.
All right, so that's College Ready. Sixth grade, you get engaged in this, and you are 100% going to graduate. I want to get back to the scholarships. I know it's not called Scholarships, Inc.
Right.
Used to be. There's some serious money out there. And I want to talk about some of the scholarships that are out there. I want to talk a little bit about who qualifies, and that's pretty broad. Mm. I mean, what people, and a couple success stories, and I know some of them personally, that people without you, mm-hmm. they wouldn't have gone to school.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you must feel really good about that. So when we come back, we'll talk about that. And then if you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners also when we come back, you've had an interesting career. You're happy. You're living. Well, you're not flying private, but I mean, yeah, you're right. making a good living yeah. in the nonprofit world. And mm-hmm. I think we should mm-hmm. encourage more people, and I, working for the government, I wouldn't call that non-profitable. It was non-profit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was in the private sector. I loved it because we got to do things when we made money, mm-hmm. which was a sure. way of doing that. But I think people like you, and I know so many people that have really could have done something else, but they're unbelievably happy. And that's, at the end of the day, that's what we want. Yeah. So we're going to talk about your career and okay. how you got that all squared away. So we're going to be back with Brett Rubel, who is the executive director of College Ready, and we're going to talk about more of the scholarship program and really a career working and giving your energy and your talents to the nonprofit world. We'll be right back. It's Jim Schmidt, Lean Local.
I wake up to the city of angels to see my name headline the coast. Looking for food, fun, and live music this summer? Head to Area 509 in Appleton with Caribbean Taste. Every Friday, enjoy a food truck rally from 5 to 8 p.m. with live music from 5:30 to 7:30. Enjoy the Triple S Market, sip, shop, sing every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. With local artisans, open mic, guest food trucks, a full menu of incredible Caribbean taste food, charcuterie, mimosas, and more. It's all happening at 1025 North Badger Avenue. Come join the fun!
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The U.S. Supreme Court said in 2019 that partisan gerrymandering was fundamentally a political issue and left it to legislatures and state courts to decide. In South Carolina, a state Supreme Court case heard June 24th challenges the state constitutionality of partisan gerrymandering. At the heart of the case is this provision in the South Carolina state constitution. All elections shall be free and open, and every inhabitant of the state possessing the qualifications provided for in this constitution shall have an equal right to elect officers and be elected to fill public office. In another SCOTUS case, 2024's Alexander v. South Carolina NAACP, evidence showed state legislators repeatedly said they gerrymandered for partisan, not racial reasons when they moved 30,000 mostly black voters into Congressional District 2, leaving adjacent districts more white and conservative. Their admission of partisan gerrymandering is now being used against them. The League of Women Voters and ACLU argued that the admitted partisan gerrymandering, quote, violated voters' constitutional rights to free and open elections that are protected from all undue influence and where voters exercise equal influence over elections. The groups asked that the map be in compliance with the state constitution. We have links to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is the show where we are talking about things that are local, and really nothing more local than the education of our community here. And that not only helps us get where we are, but really takes us to the future where we belong. And something that really helps this community with our students from sixth grade to through college is the College Ready program. And Brett Rubel is with us, and we've talked sometime about College Ready, just getting kids ready for college, starting in the sixth grade and getting them. And if you stick with the program that they offer, which is an incredible program, engages both the family and the student, 100% chance your kid's going to graduate. That's pretty good. Pretty good odds. So yeah. I just think it's terrific what you're doing, and you're to be applauded for that. And I can see why the Packers Foundation chose you out of, I don't know how many gazillion applications they get to fund that. Yet there's students that maybe are ready, but there's other barriers. It's a financial barrier. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go into debt barrier. Right. They're just afraid of that. It's like, you know, grandpa, their dad, just do whatever you want to do. Just never go into debt, which is not a bad philosophy, but you got to look at that as an investment, but some people don't. And there's other things that they may just have too much responsibility at home. I mean, maybe they're part of the family budget.
Right, right, yeah. Yeah.
So they need money. Yeah, is that my point? And so you have a whole nother program for that. And I want to talk about how you get your money, and I'll talk about who can qualify and that whole process. Because I've been to that event, and that's more than handing out a check. That's a pretty cool event you put on.
Yeah, yeah. No, that event, by the way, is coming up on July 10th. It's called our Lamp of Knowledge Celebration.
All right, right around the corner.
Yeah, right around the corner, down at the Meyer Theater. Okay. Actually, really right around the corner. So that's our one event where we distribute all of our scholarships. We award our scholarships. All the students come to the event with their families. Their families, their parents are so proud. It's just a real vibrant event. To be able to see everybody, how proud they are. And you're right, you know, so getting, you know, college ready is one thing, but then being able to help pay for college, help fund it, is another thing. And so that's where, you know, being able to have scholarships, with our average scholarship being about $2,500, you know, we're trying to make an impact there with those students to be able to go to college. And when we do surveys of our previous recipients, you know, two-thirds said, you know, it wouldn't have been possible for them, you know, to go to college, or it would have been a struggle without the additional funding that they got, you know, through our organization.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Let's see, back to my math. That's over half.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. And what I was so impressed about, just the variety of donors you have. I mean, we have the usual, but thank God we have Schreiber and Green Bay Packaging and some of the people who have been with you.
Probably, Associated Bank. Yeah, yep, exactly. Been with you
probably since day one.
Yep.
And there's some other people who have given scholarships. What I was going to say, Brent, was, and I know Green Bay is changing, but I was surprised at the diversity of people who receive those scholarships.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. You know, Green Bay is changing, and people may not know that as much if they're, you know, not in the schools, but the population is changing. The diversity is changing. And, you know, I think if you come to our event, you see that really right on the stage. Right. I mean, when we're looking, especially at our schools, Green Bay East, Green Bay Preble, West and Southwest, I would say that, you know, a majority is from a diverse population.
Right. And remember Dan Nierad, who used to be the superintendent of schools years ago.
Good guy.
A great guy.
Yep.
But I think I was running for mayor or something. I went and talked to him. And he said, what do you think of the future of Green Bay? You know, superintendent of schools. He goes, if you want to know what your future is going to be, look at your schools. And that was good advice. Go there and look at it. And like you said, if they're, you know, I mean, you go to the city band concert, you know, it's pretty older white people, but you look at your schools, it could be majority minority.
And that's what it is right now, especially in the schools we're currently working in.
Right.
It's majority minority. Yeah. You're exactly right.
And it's pretty cool how appreciative those kids are, because it's a lot of money to anybody. But for some of those kids, like you said, two thirds of them, that's the difference.
That's the difference. Yeah,
right. Going on to school or not.
Exactly.
So.
And a lot of those students, like I said, a lot of them are going here locally. So although I would certainly encourage an on-campus experience as a part of the college experience. Many of them choose not to do that, just to be financially, you know, stable. So they're going to school, they're staying at home. Like you said, a lot of them still are maintaining responsibilities in the home. You know, if they're the oldest in their family, you know, they're maybe contributing to the income. They're certainly taking care of the kids.
Right, and culturally that can be a different thing.
Exactly.
And I think you have to be sensitive to that because it's, I would agree. I think the college experience is, even if you're Green Bay to go to UWGB or St. Norbert to stay on campus, I think that experience is healthy.
Yeah. But unfortunately, the reality is that it more than doubles your cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But but the most important thing is the academics and the education and you add to that thing.
Yeah.
So that's coming up. That's, like I said, here at the Meyer Theater on July 10th. And tell me just quickly here, if somebody wants to donate to this, I mean, you need to donate to the New Community Shelter, you need to donate to the United Way, you need to donate to Boys and Girls Club, but people need to put you on their list. So how does that work?
Well, I think, you know, from a scholarship perspective, if you're interested in having a scholarship in your name or your company's name, You know, certainly that's an opportunity for you. We've got many sponsors that are with us, like you mentioned, Associated Bank, Green Bay Packaging, Schreiber, those types that are getting a named scholarship for their sponsorship. But we also have many individuals that are wanting to do something in memory of a family member as well. And so you can do that for, you know, for as little as you want. Or else, you know, there's this, the program that we're running in terms of, you know, supporting that.
And you can help them with that, different things. Tell me how they get a hold of you or you to, let's say I'm interested in donating. I want to get a scholarship set up for my dad or mom.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, well, you can call me directly, 920-857-9088, or at our website, collegeReadyWI.org.
All right, Brett Rubel, thank you for what you're doing. Thanks for making this a better community, and thanks for joining us here on Lean Local. We'll be back next week with another special guest. The sheriff's coming in. So thank you for joining us, Lean Local with Jim Schmidt.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. As July 4th holiday travel is well underway, recent storms forced thousands of flight delays and cancellations. ABC's Faith Abube.
A record number of holiday travelers avoiding the airports altogether and hitting the road. AAA projecting more than 61 million people will travel by car, a 2.2% increase over last year.
Still going.
A provision relating to sale of integrated components. The amendment made by...
Democrats asked for the reading of the 904-page Republican tax and budget plan in the Senate. It's been going on since last night. Some Republicans are not happy with the cost of it or the cuts in Medicaid. Former University of Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh is named in a class action suit over alleged hacking of student-athletes' personal info. A U.S. Attorney's Office investigating Detroit Pistons guard Malik Beasley on allegations of gambling related to NBA games and prop bets, say sources to ESPN. This is ABC News.